Here we go.
They call themselves the
Heroes Asylum.
Uno, morons.
Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum Podcasts. Issue 151, if anybody is keeping track. And let me get it out of the way. May the 4th. Happy Star Wars Day, my friend.
You too, my friend. Happy May the 4th to you, everyone, and everyone as well. So, it's a happy Sunday.
I'm wearing my Star Wars periodic table of villains.
You know, I wanted to wear my Star Wars shirt. There's a couple of them. I think I was going to wear like the Motor Sith one. What was it? Sith Lord with Darth Maul. I think it's, I forgot that. You've seen the one that I have.
Yeah.
I was gonna rock that one, but I couldn't really make up my mind. So I just chose a Marvel Black Order.
What?
T-shirt.
You undeciding? Shut up.
Yeah. Well, it has happened from time to time.
So we got the movie out. Sorry guys, I was running late on getting it out from last week. But yeah, last week we did watch Popeye the Slayer Man, fun movie. Check it out if you guys want to do the watch along with us. Yeah, it's out there. But you got to see a movie this weekend.
Yes, I did.
So what? Tell us what you saw and what you thought.
I saw Thunderbolts. I think it's the 32nd film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I think I heard that 32 or 35. I know it's up there. I know it's in the 30s. It's probably the best Marvel movie I've seen in a long time. It's better. It's way better than Cap. It's probably at equal par as Deadpool Wolverine. But like the first really good MCU movie since probably Endgame is this one.
Okay.
Because it ties in a lot of things that like from other films they didn't tie in. But now you know where they're going. Before, like, you did, but you didn't. It was like, okay, we're going to go here, but we're going to go there. This one, at least definitively, you know where it's going to go next. And then that's kind of exciting for me. And the reveal, which I really didn't see coming. I should have seen coming. But because I read comics, I was like, you know, and you did as well, Jones. But you could see it coming. I heard rumors it was going to happen. And when it finally happened, I was like, oh, okay, this makes sense.
Talking the post-credit?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So I've, yeah. Of course. Yeah. If we're on TikTok, so, yeah, I've seen a lot of the good scenes, but for me, that doesn't ruin the movie, but we're not going to do that part of it.
No.
But yeah, no, I have seen that and I love that. But again, you got to realize they did say a few years back, like, hey, we're going to do another big arc, but we're not going to do a decade. We're going to try to punch it in. And that from what I've seen, they're going right along with it. Which I think is great because at the beginning of the decade, when they first started, we didn't know what we were getting. We just thought we were getting movies coming out. You know, it wasn't until like, I think year four or five, maybe yeah, I think four is when we realized, oh, wow, they're getting ready to make this a massive, like, connected world. It was sort of connected. You know, you get like your special appearance in the post-credit trailer or reference of something, but we really didn't understand what the connectivity was until like 4 years in.
Yeah.
And I was completely fine of not knowing where they were going because I knew they were going to jump on it quickly.
Mm-hmm. And jump on it quickly, they did. They took advantage of it. And I think I like where they're going. And like I said, that post-credit scene is it makes a lot more sense now. Even when it happened, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
And but when you see where it goes from there, it's.
But it piques my curiosity for the next movie a little bit more because I wasn't fully sold because everybody knows if anybody's listening, I don't feel Fantastic Four will translate great to big screen. They've attempted it. The family unit, if they're getting rid of that, that might be a better thing. I don't know, but until we see it. But yeah, that piqued my interest more for seeing that than before.
Yeah, me too. I'm more excited to see Doomsday now next year and see where they're going to go. But like I said, fun movie. The way they did Sentry was chef's kiss. Was chef's kiss. Even better than I thought they were going to do. He's one of my favorite characters. Shit, I bought a logo t-shirt this week to go to the theater to go see it. That's how dope I like this character. And the way they did him, it made so much sense. I was like, ooh, okay. And like I said, you'll see what happens to Sentry as you go forward, which I think is kind of exciting.
Very cool. So what we're doing this week, this is a new month. We ended our horror month last week. This month, we are starting animated. We're going to venture a little bit into anime. We'll talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about animation movies, animated series. So this week, we're tackling our list of favorite animated movies. Yeah, now we did put a sort of disclaimer on it, like, hey, we're not going to do Disney because Disney's easy, because they do put out some of the best stuff. So we kind of like took every Disney out of the equation, which kind of like when I was going through the list, I was like, wait, isn't that a Disney movie? When I like something I was looking at, I was like, oh no, that's not a Disney movie, but it just sort of had Disney qualities to it, I guess.
Yeah, that was a thing. That's why I chose some movies that are not technically under Disney, but like I guess you could say Disney adjacent. That's the best wording I could use for it. So, sir, can I go first on this one?
Yeah, go right ahead.
I appreciate that, sir, because I want to segue from talking to Fantastic Four, to which I kind of hope they adapt for this new Fantastic Four. That's The Incredibles. I saw it in 2004 with my kid. Actually, a lot of these movies on this list I saw with my daughter, which kind of like, you know, makes it a little bit more special for me. But I grew to love these movies just because of that. But the movies as a whole, like this one, it's like the best Fantastic Four movie that hasn't been made yet. That's the best way I could describe it. The way they did all four characters, the family aspect, the villains were cool, and it all made sense. And at the end of the day, when you're looking at it, what the story was about was basically a guy who's going through he's got like a midlife crisis. Is he going to be the hero or be a dad? So like in that conflict, and like the second one was kind of reversed to the first one, which actually the mom was going through stuff. But like, I love this movie. Not sure how you feel about it, Jones, but definitely it's one of my top 10.
No, same thing with, I mean, we're same age and everything, and our kids are about the same age. Yeah, for me, yeah, I was going to the theaters, watching it with my son. Yeah, it was one of those ones that we could rewatch at home. You know, definitely. Throughout, you know, now just put a hashtag on this. This is a Disney movie, but it was made by Pixar. So if anybody's like, oh, it's a Disney movie, we actually threw in our disclaimer, so to speak.
Disclaimers.
we're removing Disney movies, not anything in their property, you know, line, you know, Marvel, Star Wars. I was just drew a blank. Pixar. You know, for example, this is a Pixar movie. So yeah, so just if anybody's like, "Ooh, that's not right," that was sort of our thing. Sorry, I completely forgot about like the Pixar movies, because when we talked about it, we talked about like Fox and things like that. But
I would agree. So, sir, what do you have on your list?
Mine is sort of in the same vein, but this was pre-Disney, and most people forget this was a movie first. Star Wars: The Clone Wars. Now, not the first one. The second one that led into the animated series with Filoni and basically led into that. And when you go back and watch it, you usually are seeing the first two episodes are the actual movie. But the actual movie did release in theaters. You know, so this is – and it's just – because for me, this is what – I think I sent you a thing today about Cody Rhodes making comment about, you know, the fandom of Star Wars and wrestling are very similar and – you know,
he's 100%.
Yeah, and he makes a comment about, you know, the prequels were looked down upon, but now when you see, you know, Hayden Christensen come out, he's getting WrestleMania pops. He's getting Rock and Austin pops when he comes out to a crowd. And this is what – this is the movie in the series that sort of catalytic, you know, started that, because it made me appreciate them more. I didn't dislike them. I just wasn't a big fan of them. Again, I'm – The Gen X generation. I love the original trilogy. That there was something special for me on that. I just the event of it all. But then when I look at my son's generation, that was theirs. You know, the prequels were their first experience to that. And then of course, you know, you have your Gen Zs now, who their first experience with that was, you know, the sequels. But I think the Clone Wars actually tied everything together, and it made me appreciate the prequels more because of what they did and how they tied it in and how it was sort of in the middle of 2 and 3, and you saw hints of things to come that we knew were coming, and they just tied the lore together so much. But I love the who's probably become one of my favorite Star Wars characters was Ahsoka Tano. You know, her introduction. Granted, that first season – and even in this movie, the Snips character and it's Sky Guy, that was kind of silly. But again, you got to realize this was geared towards children at the time, and they tuned it up a little bit as they went into the series to make it more adult and kid friendly. But that one is one of mine. Unfortunately, I never got a chance to see it because because I do know it was a short run, because I think it originally came, like, it aired in, I think, the Egyptian Theater in Hollywood, and then it went out to, like, a huge group, but I don't think it was out that long.
Yeah, it's a good film. Solid film. I've seen it, like, a couple times. It didn't kind of hit me, like, I wasn't going to like the prequels after that film. I think I started liking the prequels a little bit more and more kind of after that. When they had Bad Batch, Rebels, I think that's when I started, like, okay, let me go back, and obviously the Clone Wars series, but this movie was solid. Solid. Didn't have it on my list, but definitely a solid film. I can't hate on it. Because I'm not one of those guys anymore who hates the prequels. And I used to freaking venomously hate them. Yeah. I think we still have some recordings back in the day where it says I viciously hate them. But I've kind of, like, changed my tune on them. Like, kind of like, you know what? They're what they were. And I think when we went to Star Wars Celebration, what was the most kind of costumes that we saw? It was from that era.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't, like, you saw, like, the normal era, like our era, but, like, you saw more from that prequel era. So, I get it.
And what you're seeing nowadays is really influenced from the prequels and the Clone Wars. I mean, Filoni's running Star Wars for the most part right now, and he's, you know, yes, he learned under the tutelage of Lucas, and a lot of what happened in the Clone Wars were from Lucas's book, and I'm not joking. He has a book.
Really?
Yeah. And so there's, you know, there was something that you know, he's sort of continuing that idea behind what Lucas wanted, and I'm absolutely all on board for it. So what do you have next?
I got another fun one, and again, it's like influenced by, you know, your kids. You watch animated movies with them, or if not, you watch it by yourself. But I mean, that's not too creepy, but, you know, beware. But this is another one for me, which I kind of like, because it kind of influences things that I kind of like. And at the time, my daughter would actually start to like because of this, which is like martial arts. And that's Kung Fu Panda, the first one by DreamWorks. It's a fun little movie where it's like, you know, the underdog. You're like, oh, he's like, you're looking for the basic master. Like, you have like I think it's the Incredible Six, voiced greatly, by the way, in this film. And then you had Dustin Hoffman as like kind of like the Yoda figure, who had like another, like the turtle was like almost like his Yoda figure. It's like very like touching in a way, but it's like a story of growth. Like, you know, you had to fight this one evil kid who's like the evil like student who got away, and there's like a new one that comes in. He's almost like the Anakin. It's really cool. It's very Star Wars-esque if you think about it.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It's very Star Wars-esque, and that's one of the things that kind of drew me into it. And the story, Jack, like the voices were all really good. All the movies were pretty good, but like the first one always has like that special place for me too.
I think this is where, like, I know Jack Black was around beforehand. I knew him from Tenacious D and the HBO series. And he had already done quite a few movies, but he I don't think he had hit that catalyst truly yet until that came in. And then I think that's the thing that made him a household name and really just brought him into the forefront. And like, you know, everybody appreciated what he was doing even more, which I absolutely love that.
Yeah, he got bigger off of voicing this character. Basically, it was the beginning, like bigger than anything he did with Tenacious D. I mean, and they were pretty big. But like after this, he just like he blew up. Like, he got Goosebumps. I think he did a couple Goosebumps movies as well. He was like the voice of Bowser in Mario Brothers. So he's just in Minecraft.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like you said, he's been like on that trajectory of Jumanji. So yeah, you could definitely thank this series for Jack Black's success. Sir, what do you have on your list?
Well, mine kind of continues in a sci-fi genre in a way, and I'm a huge fan of this series of movies. Even though the last one gets a lot of last two, if you count the if you count the remake or the revisit, is the Matrix series and the Animatrix. If nobody's ever watched it, it is basically a filler to the second and third the Matrix movies, but it's done basic in Japanese anime, and really one of my first like forays into seeing anime and seeing kind of what it is. But it follows a series of stories. It's anthology based. And of course, you know, we've talked about our anthology love, but this brings around and answers some questions, you know, those questions you always ask, but you're like, I don't want them to take time to make a whole nother movie about it. But it talks about how, you know, there's one of the stories is how the robots actually came in. Because it was just based off of a line that Morpheus said, you know, we humans scarred the earth to suffocate the robots from their power cells. and it explains what happens. You see the kid, I think, in the second Matrix, the kid that kind of follows Neo around when he gets back to the base, and you get a backstory because he says, "No, you saved me," and it explains what they're talking about. You also see the final flight of the Osiris, you know, because you'd see that and you hear about that, I think, in the third Matrix. So it just ties in a lot of like things that were said in the movie that didn't further the story anymore. You know, they didn't need to go more in depth to further the story, but I just to get that answer, to find out what happened. And again, it's just beautiful styling. And it does fit into the lore of the Matrix. If nobody's ever seen it, if everybody's like, "Oh, it's just a kind of throwaway." No, it's not a throwaway. If you want to learn more about it, watching that really got me get to want to jump in. Did you remember the Matrix game that they used to have, the computer game?
Absolutely. I can say, before I got to the game, I want to get back to the Animatrix. I think we did a movie review on it or watch along. I'm not sure it's in the archives because I'm pretty sure I remember we did something on it. I love, basically, the first Matrix movie is really good. Second and third ones are what they were, and the new one was garbage. But like the Animatrix, what I liked is it kind of made the story of the Matrix better, and I wish they would have used that kind of story into the live films. Like, it had a lot of lore in there, which I freaking loved, and they never like brought it out in the live action.
Well, this was the vice versa. The live talked about it. This answered what they were. So it was there. I mean, you got to see what they were talking about in this. So, like I said, we always talk about, well, how we don't want let them talk about something, and we don't need to go in detail about it. But the things they chose to go a little bit further in were really good. It didn't add to the story, didn't take away, but it didn't take away from what the live did.
No, but I just kind of like, I was so greedy. I liked the Animatrix so much. I wish they would have like
done a sequel to it.
Yeah, like another one. Like I like the way they did it. They made the Matrix like, not that it was bad in the live action films, but when you get into like the Animatrix, they make it seem like this cool, like trippy vibe, Pink Floyd type of song thing, which I really kind of dug. I was like, oh, that's cool, because you know Alice going down the hole and all that stuff. And when you get back to like the live action, they just kind of like just brushed over and like, yeah, fuck it. I guess I'm going next.
Yes, sir.
I'm gonna go back, way back to the 80s. It's actually a film I found one time by running a video from Blockbuster Video. I was in Union City, New Jersey. That's how old this shit is. Vampire Hunter D, 1985. I've talked wistfully about this music on and off. And it's basically about a vampire hunter. Duh, his name is D. You'll find out why his name is D at the end of the film. But the way it's shot, the way it's kind of voiced, and the way it kind of moves, it just seems like it's, at moments it could jump from being a kiddie, but then it goes straight into adult, and you know it's adult. And it gets into the lore of vampires and hunters. It's a simple premise, I agree. But like, just the way it is, the way it's shot, the way it's drawn. There's so many iconic imagery from that anime. They did a sequel, which was not as good as the first one, unfortunately. But like, these movies have always been really, really top tier, like just animating good, especially vampire hunting movies too.
Yeah, no, that is, yeah. I've watched it one time. It didn't catch me like it caught you. But yeah, no,
that's too bad.
Yeah.
It's okay. I mean, it happens. We're all different. We like different shit. But I love this film. I can go on. I wish they would make like a live action version of this, but I think they tried, but nobody's done anything yet. But it's just so good. If you've never watched it, watch the first one. Second one, that's on your choice, but do check it out.
Very cool. I'm kind of going to go back to the 80s as well, early 1982. This is an animated fantasy film. And it's done by the one and only Rankin Bass. If anybody's older or younger than us probably is not too familiar with Rankin Bass. Rankin Bass has done a lot of animated movies. They've or series as well, television series. They're best known for like the Rudolph the Reindeer for Christmas Time and Frosty. And I mean, they're known for like the Christmas films. But they did The Last Unicorn.
Oh, I don't think I remember this one.
You never saw The Last Unicorn?
I don't think I remember that. I've seen The Last Unicorn. Have I seen The Last Unicorn?
Yeah, we
hold on.
We're going to stop recording if you haven't yet.
Hold on. I mean, give me a moment here.
So basically the film follows the last unicorn in the world. And she's kind of lived in her own forest. And is like, she's like, I've never seen anything beyond what I've known. And she decides to go out and discover how awful the world really is. The voice acting on it's from Alan Arka, Jeff Bridges, Mia Farrow, Angela Lansbury, and the one and only Christopher Lee. And it's just, if anybody's ever into fantasy, this is epic fantasy, just gorgeous. The soundtrack itself is done by Jim Webb, who is known for tons of music and songs. He actually wrote Galveston and Wichita Lineman. By Glenn Campbell. But the music is just a beautiful, and just the art style of it, especially in the 80s, early 80s, just amazing to see. So basically it follows this one last unicorn, and she is stalked by this bull that is made of fire, because they just want the last of them gone. But if you guys get a chance, take a look at it. It's amazing.
You know what? You're going to take away my man card, dude. I've never seen it.
Well, I don't know if that would take away your man card. That's a little, sometimes folks think that's a little.
You could take, take about 25% of the geek card away. You could take a little bit away.
And if anybody is a book fan, it's based off of a novel. So check that out. I've tried to read it a few times. It's a little dry, but if you can get past that, it's really good.
I already have it queued up. So after I'm done here, I'm going to watch it. Oh, since I didn't watch that, I'm going to go next. I'm going to bookend both of these movies like at the same time, because they're so good. It's a comic book movie, but like every time I come home from the Winchester, my Lyft drops me off at home 12:45, 1:30 in the morning, and I still want to be awake. There's only one movie that I play. That's The Dark Knights Part 1 and 2. I always will play these movies. They will always be the same for me. They're so good. If you read the comic, the comic is great. It's a little tougher to adapt from the comic. They did it and added some things to it, which are really kind of cool. I mean, I don't know what else I could say. This movie's great. Comes from a great comic. And they do that, like, transition to smoothly. The voice acting is so good. I didn't think I was going to like Peter Weller as Batman. He was great as old Batman.
Fucking great. How can you not appreciate RoboCop?
Yeah, it's Batman. Every time I read that comic, because I'll read it, like, once a year, I now picture his voice in my head as Batman.
Yeah.
That's how strong it was. And like I said, the movie is just so good. If you read the comic, you know how good it is.
Funny is like when I was doing this research, I did go to a couple of sites, and I always like to kind of peruse like lists and get kind of like jog my memory of maybe this a movie I haven't seen in a decade. And maybe if it's on the list or something like that. And that movie kept coming up on a few lists, but what was weird, it wasn't part one, it was part two
that really
kept coming up. Yeah, and I was like, why are they not lumping them like you just did? They're saying part two is better than part. Just to me, it seemed kind of weird. That
it does seem weird, because they're both about I guess they're thinking like the second one had Superman show up, so I mean, but I think like the reveal in the first movie of you know, Two-Face is just as powerful. So, I would put those, like, even.
I don't know. And, the second one I can kind of see, because with Superman being there, he's being that authoritarian character. You know, to me, that one, and again, I'm a Superman fan, so that goes against everything I believe with Superman and everything I've ever read about Superman.
I'm sure you have thoughts.
I can kind of see that, but I don't know why they didn't lump them as one like you just did. Like, because you got to see them both, because the story, that's not how the story goes. The story is one story.
The story is just one thing. I mean, it's not like a, like, you know, hey, it ends here. No, they're seamless. They go into one. That's why I lump them as one. And like I said, there's just so many good things that I've talked to you about. Nauseam. Shit, I'll quote like, hey, this is The Dark Knight Returns year for me, because I'm an old man. I quote this book all the time. I acknowledge it. So, and the movie's just as good. So just for a Batman fan like me, it's always going to be up there.
Very cool. I'm going to jump into DC as well. This may surprise you, though. It's probably nothing that you think I would choose. It was part of the DCU animated series. Like they did the Rebirth. If nobody's ever watched them. If you guys have heard our Earl podcast, we like rave about that series, because it's, if DC live action would have like looked at what their animated department was doing, we would have had that Marvel DC decade run going on, like, still to this day. But it is the Green Lantern Emerald Knights story.
Oh,
and again, okay. It falls under the anthology, but it delves into everything you've wanting to know about the Green Lanterns and their core. And you do have, and it's sort of a way of introducing you to the echelon of the core, because the core is such a massive group of characters, and you can't say one's better or worse than the others because they all kind of have their own place in the world. But it follows, like, the first Green Lantern. You find out who he is and why he was picked. It delves more into Kilowog, who's, like, their drills instructor. And I just absolutely love the Kilowog story, because I just to see him start the way he did and then see his drill instructor and how he became. You get to understand Mogo. You get a little bit backstory to Evan Sore. I just think it's just a great, like, overall. If anybody's talked about, like, oh, I'm kind of interested in getting to know more about Green Lantern, I aim them this way. It's like, watch this. You'll get, like, everything. You won't get Stewart. You won't get Rayner. You won't get, you know, Guy Gardner. You won't get any of those, but you will get the core of what they're about.
I love these episodes that are tied into a movie. I love the reveal as Mojo as a planet. I think that episode, or that part of the movie, was really cool. And like you said, them going to the backstory of the Lanterns is cool. I thought before that you were going to put the other Green Lantern movie from, like, the new, I think it's the Future State, the last animated run that came out for DC in the movies.
Yeah, no.
They did a Green Lantern movie, which was, like,
good movie. But when I have to, like, sit down, and because there are three, there's the First Flight, there's this one, I think there's three total. I think the one, the last one was with Jon Stewart. This one just seems to, because it's, again, it falls under the anthology where you get multiple stories going on throughout it, and it just delves into everything you want to know about the Green Lantern Corps and their origin.
Let me ask you a question. Going forward in the new DC universe, do we get a Hal Jordan? You think? Well, yeah. I mean, No, I'm sorry.
I was just saying, we got the show coming.
I'm an idiot. Do we get Evan Sore, you think?
We'll probably get an origin story. I mean, just a bit, maybe a mention, maybe a flashback. Because, I mean, I think it's more concentrating on John and Hal. So, but yeah, I'm pretty sure we might get some sort of, like, origin story.
I want to see the core. I want to see the Guardians. I don't know. Just, like, I got teased in that awful Ryan Reynolds movie. Like, I just want to see him. I guess I'm going. I'm going to choose another comic book movie. Reason why, I can. And it's easy. It's Across the Spider-Verse. When I saw that one, like, the second one, I think it's kind of, like, equal to the, like, some people would choose the second over the first. I like the first because it literally came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, the animation style was, like, why am I watching this? It's, like, stupid. I think it's one of the last movies I took Jada to see, too. So we saw it, and I went there, and I'm like, okay, this is going to be dumb. I came out of the movie loving the soundtrack, loving the movie, and, like, had a new appreciation for Miles Morales. Because I always told you, like, I think Miles is dumb. He was, like, a publicity stunt, like Damian Wayne was. And then you watch this movie, it's like, okay, it makes sense for him to be around now. Like, the voice cast is great. The soundtrack is great. There's nothing bad about this movie. If anything, you get mad because we haven't seen part three yet.
Yeah.
Where's that? Like, it's been a while.
Well, you got to realize how long it takes them to do those, especially because of that style that they do. It's I think it's, like, a cross between computer-generated and live, like, you know, true art. I think it just takes a while, and then make sure they got the right story, because, again, you don't want to piss people off. They've had two freaking home runs. You don't want to lose it at the gate on the third one and go, hey, sorry.
You ended it really good in part two that made me want part three so bad.
Yeah.
Because that's the first thing I did when I left the movie. Like, well, okay, where's part three? Like, you can't leave it like this.
Yeah.
You can't, like, no. And I think that's the last time I got like that in a theater is when I saw, well, I didn't go to the theater to see what you guys, but when I saw Infinity War and it ended like that, I go, wait, what? They did it? What? Like, so you'll get that when you see part two. But I like I said, both movies, you could choose either or this one or the other one. I choose the first, still sentimental for me, but definitely it's Across the Spider-Verse.
All righty. Well, been kind of hoping you would do this, but you haven't yet, and I don't know if it's on your list, but I'm going to do it anyways. This came out, God, was it 93? Yeah, 93. And this was sort of a from a TV show to a movie, but Batman, The Mask of the Phantasm.
Oh, you know what? I did have it. I was choosing between Dark Knights 1 and 2 and this one.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad I helped you.
It was a toss-up. It was hard because I was like, yeah. You know, Mask of the Phantasm is really good too. I'm like, yeah, but the Dark Knight, like, oh, which one? So it's like, you know, the scales tipped left.
Yeah, so if anybody's a fan of the Batman animated series from the 90s, this was a movie. It was produced. Production started, I think, between the first and second season of the series. And they just opened up the world even more. I mean, the Batman animated series had just great stylism and just how it was put forward. And that's what made it so great, because we had never seen anything like that. If you go look online, you can find a whole bunch of making ofs. And one of the making ofs talks about how they drew this world and how most artists will start on white paper. They started on black paper and filled it in with white. That's why it was always darker tones, because their base was black to begin with. But this just like furthered it on. And you got the same voice actors, the story. In fact, you get a sort of like a revisit of this if anybody's ever watched Batman Beyond. Because when they go into Terry's like origin story of sorts, you see the Phantasm again. Which I thought was a great throwback, because you're like that show. Yeah, the movie happened, and I don't think they ever mentioned it again on the animated series.
Let me stop you before you go on. I love that moment where you see the Phantasm for like a little bit, and I think she takes off the mask, and it's still her, but she just got gray hair.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, that's a great nod right there.
Yep.
So yeah, no doubt. Like this movie. Come on. Like, what is there to hate about the movie? They actually took the animated series and they made it better. Like they trumped everything in this film. Even the music sounds more epic.
Oh yeah.
Like the story is like the story's so good. Like, you know, you think Batman's this one dude who's always brooding. No, he fell in love at one moment. Like, there was a moment in his life that he was conflicted. Was he going to wear the suit? Well, you know, he could have done one thing or another thing. And then it shows in this movie how he took that other thing, which I thought was kind of a nice addition to the lore, because, you know, the origins of Batman are always like really, you know, they are played in like in unknowns for the longest time. And you had the history with, like, you know, his parents, that was always there. But like, how did he get trained? Like, it's always been changed over the years. And I kind of like it. And this one, it was kind of simplified.
Yeah.
They simplified everything in almost like an hour and 30 minutes. And it just shows. And it's just so good. I mean, like, again, another Batman movie that I can talk wistfully about.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So what have I got? I got one. It's probably one you didn't even think, but again, has to do with the kid. And when you have kids, you watch a lot of animated movies. And this one stuck with me. That's Hotel Transylvania. Yes, Hotel Transylvania. You think I wouldn't like that? Of course, I got to mix in a little of the horror. What can you hate about it? Like, Adam Sandler, I think, is awesome as Dracula in this film. You had other comedians in this film. I think his buddies were also voicing it. Selena Gomez is his daughter. But it's just so fun. Like, the story, like, it's just typical, you know, it's a lame story. It's like, okay, father, daughter, like, getting along. We've seen it 1,000 times. But I like the animation, and I just like it because it was just fun. And sometimes you need a movie that's not too serious, not too, like, hit, you know, hidden in a kind of lore, which I like, but just fun. And this story is just fun.
I have to say, I've never seen it.
That's
fun. Yeah, Yeah, I never got a chance to see it. Whenever I see like that movie and like online or anything like that, my head goes straight to Transylvania 65,000. Sorry, every time I see, that's exactly what I think of. If nobody's ever seen that movie, go watch it. It is a classic something or other. I don't want to call it a B movie, but it's something.
Yeah, you said it's something. It's definitely something.
You talk about going to movies with your daughter. Transylvania 65,000. My mom took me to go see. So
what?
Yeah. Oh, my mom was like, my mom was open and didn't care. Yeah.
Yeah, man. She was like, all right, you're gonna watch this.
Yeah. Goodness, I guess I'm going to go with one that we've already done before in our watch-alongs way back. Probably
way
first year of us doing this when we did the movie watch-alongs, and it's a massive movie for my generation and probably one of the biggest heartbreaks we've ever had is Transformers the movie, 1986. Just again, it's one of those ones that you usually don't see it going from, you usually see it going movie to TV. This is again one of those ones that went from TV to movie, just like I just talked about Batman Mask of the Phantasm. This was the same way. It was a show, then went to a movie format, and just the scope, the scale was epic. The soundtrack was epic, and the voice cast was just ridiculous. Eric Idle, Judd Nelson, Leonard Nimoy, Casey Kasem, and then of course you had Frank Welker, who, you know, obviously Peter Cullen, but then you also had the last performance of the legendary Orson Welles as Unicron, and just epic. I mean, the things that happened in that movie will break you if you are a fan of the Transformers, and there are certain things as a child shocked me as well. You know, I'm hearing a cartoon character curse I'd never seen. So as a child, and I went to the theaters by myself on this one, and, you know, and I'm like, what the?
Did he just say fuck?
But, you know, it's what? just an epic movie. And I understand sort of what Michael Bay was trying to do, because that's what he had to lean on and look at. And I think he kind of went a little bit overboard when it came to the live action, because that movie is a big, that thing leaves big shoes to fill.
And it all started from here. I mean, I never left a theater in my life where I saw so many crying 12-year-olds. Like, it was just like, I went there with my brother and my dad, and I'm crying. My brother's crying. Like, in the other aisle, we're just like just sitting there. You know, it's like the guy crying back then. You don't really want to cry. So you're like, that's what we're all, that's what we all did.
But not only did that impact the story here, but it impacted another story, another property of Hasbro. They changed the end of G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra.
Yeah, yes, that's right.
Because everybody freaked out about Prime, Duke was supposed to die.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're like, nope, we can't do that to kids again.
Are you kidding me? I would have had a heart attack. Like, you can't kill Optimus Prime and Duke in the same year. You just can't do it. Can't do it.
Yeah.
Oh, and like you said, dude, the soundtrack is so good.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot who's
Stan Bush, Weird Al Yankovic. God, I'm trying to remember who. I mean, this is still just amazing music in it. And I mean, if you just watch the movie, they're little mini like music videos when the music does start playing.
I'm not going to lie, this movie is of its era. I mean, come on. The opening intro soundtrack with it's like the guitar and like just it's so metal, but I don't care. I think once in a while I'll send you TikToks of that intro music. It's just so badass. But again, it's, what are you going to say about Transformers?
Yeah.
Like, nothing to say. Like, again, it's like the story that like literally killed everybody at the same time. I mean, I got kind of mad at the premise. It was like, you're killing all the old toys I have to sell new toys. I'm like, that's basically what it was.
Well, that was our childhood. I mean, you got to realize everything what we grew up on in cartoons and television shows was literally 30-minute long commercials. That's all they were. And then people wonder why we're a very heavily capitalistic culture. It's because us as a generation, every show that we watch and that kind of defined us because of the stories that were told. Even, yes, it was a commercial, 30-minute commercial, but the stories and the morals and everything that came out, the PSA is from G.I. Joe and everything, they were literally, you know, taught us right from wrong. But again, they were just commercials for, hey, mom, go, can I get this toy? You know, I think the funniest thing, we were watching something, my mom and my family were watching something, and they mentioned DNA. And they're like, do you know what that is, Michael? And I busted it out, and that was because of fucking G.I. Joe.
Yeah, G.I. Joe talked to you about, like,
because of Serpentor. Yeah. And, like, the look on their face was like, what? How do you know it?
Yeah, dude, that was, like, the week-long event. Like, they were like, going through all the time, like, the different eras. Again, like, the DNA of all the great conquerors. Like, they got Genghis Khan, and I think they got some kind of, like, Montezuma. He was, like, one Aztec guy. And the last DNA they were supposed to get was like for intelligence. They didn't get it. I mean, that's a good trivia question if you want to know. I'm sure Jones is looking it up now.
Oh, no.
But like, he was supposed to get that last DNA. They didn't get it. So Serpentor was a little crazy. He was still powerful, but he was like a little bit of a psychopath.
Well, he was crazy. He was crazy because of all the different voices in his head.
Yeah,
and I love the comic book version of it better because it didn't the missing DNA didn't come from Sergeant Slaughter. It came from Storm Shadow.
Oh, okay.
So that was like, I guess Sergeant Slaughter kind of works. And again, it's what they were trying to do because they did have a toy for Sergeant Slaughter.
Dude, I had that toy. Did you have to send away like all those decals again? I remember it was like a special one.
No, I never did that.
I always did that. Remember like they had the refrigerator Perry? I sent for that one. Like I would always do like the send away ones.
The only one I think I ever wanted from the G.I. Joe runs was there was like a masked one and you can plug in your own data into your file card. And it was just everybody got the same generic character. It's just your file card was you could customize it. That's the only one I ever wanted.
Oh, I never got that one. Was around?
Yeah, I'm shocked. Yeah. Then of course that's the only place you can get the hooded Cobra Commander.
That's right, and that was like because for a while he was not available. Like you had to get him through that little decal system. Pull, Jones. Good pull.
Well, I guess we established last week. I'm a G.I. Joe nerd.
Yeah, but that's a deep rabbit hole. You were going back to decals and sending it in to get like fixed.
You don't want me to open that door, dude.
That's a little sweaty.
Door's best left closed.
I might have to open that door one out. I wanna go down this G.I. Joe rabbit hole. Let's see what else he had. I guess this is my last one. It's an easy one. They're doing the live action version of it this year, which I cannot wait to see. And it's How to Train Your Dragon, the first one. Again, I saw it with my kids, so a lot of this are kids' choices, of course. But still, it's a good movie. Story of connection from two different type of races, the dragons, the people, and hatred, and all that stuff woven in. And then you have, like, this little budding friendship between, like, Hiccup and, I forgot the dragon's name, but him. I think it's Toothless, yeah. So he was his relationship with Toothless, and then, like I said, you're bringing these two cultures together that hated each other. And a story of like, you know, a son, you know, trying to relate to his dad too, because mom is not around. Again, great film. I cannot wait to see the live action version. I'm going to see it this year.
Yeah, it looks amazing. Actually, our friend Bob was, we were talking about it. We were hanging out at the Winchester and the trailer came up for it. And he's like, do you think that's going to be any good? And I'm like, what I've seen, like just the visuals and from like the commercial, I was like, it's going to knock it out of the park. I mean, there's a few like, irks, but you're going to hear that from every movie that comes out from people that just like need it to be spot on. And it's like, but ignore those. But yeah, it looks amazing. And our good friend Willie that you used to do a podcast with, I know he's a huge fan. So I cannot wait to hear him and his ideas and thoughts behind it.
The big reveal that you told me the other day that he was a big Disney sweaty. I didn't know that. Him? It's like, I wouldn't thank him. I would thank like other stuff, but like Disney. Okay. Yeah,
he's got a softy side.
We'll have to get him in here for like doing the top 10 Disney movies of all time. That could be fun. But yeah, I mean, what can you say about this film? Again, they're doing the live action version. The animated trilogy was great. If you've seen How to Train Your Dragon 3, I have not watched the ending to. I heard what the ending is, but like you with Supernatural, that you refused to watch that last episode. Which one day we will do, and we're going to record it. This one, I have not seen the ending of How to Train Your Dragon 3, because I know what happens, and I don't want to see it. It's kind of like one of those things. I don't want their...
You don't want that magic to end? Is that what you're trying to say, Jeff?
I don't want it to end. Like, I like Toothless together with Hiccup. So it's just like, no, man, I don't want to see them go away and not be friends anymore and, like, living their own lives. Like, it's just, no. So I have not watched the ending. Heard about it. I am not going to watch it. No. Sir, what do you have your last
one? Well, my last one, and I'm going back even further. This would probably be the oldest one we have talked about. 1977. And I'm kind of doing what you did with the Batman movie. I'm kind of lumping two movies together. Again, I did already talk about this company that makes these great movies, but Rankin Bass. But it's The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings.
Oh.
These introduced me to a whole new world If nobody's ever checked them out, dude, they're 1977 animation, so it's a little different, but it really gets our dark cartoons. And it's just amazing stories. They do cut them down tremendously compared to like what we saw Peter Jackson do in the live action movies. I'll never say anything bad about those. I thought he did an amazing job with what he was able to, the time he had and the money he had and just the technology he was able to do out there was amazing. But this is what introduced me to that world. I mean, when this came out, I was 3 or 4. So it wasn't, I hadn't read them yet, but it was after this came out and the Lord of the Rings one came out, I think like a year later, that my grandmother started reading these to me when I would go visit her. They should always like, she's the one that introduced me to books. And, So she would read these to me, and it just captured me. And then, of course, as I got older, I read them myself and like delved further in. She read me The Hobbit because it was the safer one when you actually look at the rest of the series. But just if anybody's gotten a chance, go check them out. They're out there running around. But just amazing animated movie and just how they tell that story in a short period.
The year this came out, I think it was on CBS television. I think they showed it it wasn't quite prime time. I think it was like 8:30 on a Friday. They showed both of these movies. It was always advertised like 8 o'clock. You're going to watch Lord of the Rings. And like the second one, it's like 8 to 10, like that block. That same year it came out, I was reading The Hobbit. So I finished that animated movie. Then while I was reading The Hobbit, then of course, Lord of the Rings, etc. and all that. This movie is so good. On many levels, the animation is good. The voice cast is good. The moment where Frodo loses his finger and you see the one dude in the back singing that creepy song about him, you know, Frodo of the Nine thing. It's freaking creepy as hell. Well, it's dark.
It was the production style they did this because they filmed things and then they animated on top of the live filming. So like there were some weird things about it. Yeah, like kind of extra creepy.
Yeah, and it added to it. Like, the way they sounded so far away and Gandalf, like, all the voices sounded serious. They weren't goofy at all. And I'm like, Jesus, this is like a real movie. This is like a big boy movie. And, again, it's so good. It led me to read the rest of Tolkien, as I had to in high school, of course, you know, because I'm that old. Me and Jones are. But it's, again, like Jones said, do yourself a favor. Watch the movies. Read the books. Or read the books and watch the movies. Hell, watch the new series that came out. If you guys haven't got a chance, first season was terrible, but like the second season and after that is so good. Oh, so good. But I would agree, sir.
All right, guys. If anybody's interested, we are out there on Facebook, so check us out. We are under the title of BAM, Badass Midnight Movies out there. So anybody has anything else to add to the list, trust me, I had a few. I've got a few. I think I told you I had like 14 on here. So I did have quite a few. That I didn't, touch on. There's just if anybody has any more, just let us know what you think and if you have any ideas. So next week, I think we're doing animated series. So yeah, we're going to tackle that, which that's a monster. If anybody, like even before that, if anybody has any ideas, just let us know. Might be someone we forgot about.
Yeah. And no Disney again, by the way.
Yeah.
Disney's, it's the same rules apply from last week to this one, so still no Disney, but it could be Disney.
No gargoyles, huh?
No, man. I know you're going to put that one up there, but no, man. We got to make it hard. We got to make it
no gummy bears, huh? You bastard.
Oh, dude.
That's right. That song's going to get stuck in your head now. Just think about it.
Gummy bears even there and everywhere. Wait a minute. Who is... Baloo and like the I forgot what was that series Baloo and the guy with the airplane. DuckTales. Oh, dude, wait a minute.
Oh, that's gonna kill me.
I might have to rethink this. Maybe we might have to put Disney on there because there's a lot. You know what? We're talking about it off here.
All right, guys. We will see you guys next week. Hope you have a good week.
See ya.